Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. How are you today? Now I'll be speaking to you today from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. So if you turn your Bibles there. And our subject today is Christ, the light of the world. Now Isaiah verses 9 and 2 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." And that great light, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. The hope of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world." Now, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, in Romans 5 it says that sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death has spread to all men, because all sinned. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, says Romans 3 and 23. All guilty before holy God, it says in Romans 3. And it says that Satan has blinded the minds of those who have sinned. And because they walk in our sins, it says that sin has brought death into the world. And so in this verse we see that all those who are on the earth today who are not saved, who are not in Christ, are walking in darkness and in the shadow of death. But there's hope. There's hope. Because it says the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to bring hope into this dark world of sin and to bring salvation, to bring light and salvation to those who are walking in darkness and in the shadow of death. And of course, I mentioned Satan brings on those who are unbelievers, who are in their sins, who are walking in darkness and in the shadow of death. He brings blindness to them to try to stop them from believing the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. But Christ's light has overcome that darkness. And people are putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ every day and getting saved and being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love, the kingdom of light and of love. As we read our text, we start with verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, who He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word has spoken to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. In the beginning was the Word, the one who reveals to us all that God is. Christ is God's living Word to mankind, the very expression of God's heart and thoughts towards mankind. He's the eternal Word, the Logos in Greek and the Memra in Hebrew, Christ the Lord. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end and the beginning, the first and the last. He who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty, God the Son, eternally existent." As you see these pictures here, this is God's creation. This is the creation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He made all these things in the cosmos. These are all pictures from the Webb telescope today. David could say, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And the Word was with God. The Word, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Son, eternally existent in unity, in counsel within the Godhead with the Father and the Holy Spirit. This is who is the light of the world. And the Word was God. Christ the Lord, God the Son. The Bible teaches two great truths. God is one, and God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Both true. One God in three distinct persons, the Trinity or the Godhead. The Word, spoken of here, is the person of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning with God. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Just look at that. That's his creation. Mighty God. Omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God. He created that. He created all these things. The Lord Jesus Christ created all these amazing things, the stars, the galaxies, everything created. The three persons of the Godhead were involved, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that God is light. And we heard that last week from Nevin's message, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Therefore, the Son of God, as God, is light, in whom is no darkness at all. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Look at that. Stars, the galaxies. He created all of that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. The Holy Spirit clearly states in this verse that the Word, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, created all things. There was nothing made apart from him as God the Son, clearly showing the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Only God can create anything from nothing. He spoke it all into existence by just the word of his power. Think of that. The word of his power. He spoke all of this. All of that you see. He just spoke it into existence. What a great and awesome Lord we have. In him was life. And the light was the light of men. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, is the source of all life and everything created. He is the Word of life and eternal life. He gives natural life to all living creatures, but gives eternal life as a gift to those who believe in him. If you haven't believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, won't you believe in him today? He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give you eternal life as a gift. It's free. It's all of grace. All you have to do is believe in him. Believe in his name. He gives the light of the truth of who God is to mankind, as well as the spark of life at birth. He is the wonderful and mighty God. He is the wonderful. He's full of wonder and the mighty God. Concerning the amazing creation of the human body, which he created, our great and awesome Lord Jesus Christ. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He gives life to everyone coming into the world. Now, when a sperm cell successfully penetrates an egg, a remarkable phenomenon occurs. A burst of light is emitted from the egg. A burst of light is emitted from the egg. The flash is not visible to the naked eye, but can be observed under a microscope. The light is produced by the release of zinc ions stored in the egg, which bind to fluorescent molecules, creating a visible spark of light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He gives life to everyone coming into the world. The flash of light that occurs when a sperm fertilizes an egg is a fascinating aspect of the reproductive biology of the human body. This spark of life not only signifies the moment of conception, but also provides valuable insights into egg quality in the early stages of embryonic development. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us physical life, breath, and being. Again, concerning the incredible design of the human body by our Lord Jesus Christ, it almost sounds like something out of a movie, yet modern research confirms it. The human body is alive with light. Scientists have discovered that our cells release tiny bursts of photons, called biophotons, directly from the DNA itself. And God's signature is in that DNA. These micropulses are not random flashes. They appear to carry information allowing cells to communicate with remarkable precision. Healthy cells release steady, coherent light, while diseased cells send out disorder. Some researchers even propose that our nervous system works like a fiber optic network. Isn't that amazing? His creation of the human body, of us. Some researchers it's a fiber optic network, the nervous system, moving this light throughout the body as part of its communication system. The body is not merely a chemical machinery. It is an illuminated masterpiece created by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For us as believers, this discovery echoes the truth of Psalm 139, verse 14, where we are told that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He is wonderful and the mighty God. The fact that our cells use light, the very symbol of truth, of life and truth throughout the scriptures, is not a coincidence. It is intentional craftsmanship by the creator of all life, our Lord Jesus Christ. Evolution cannot explain purposeful, coherent information, rich light signaling with the DNA. Blind processes do not create radiant codes. But Scripture explains it clearly. God is light. Christ is light. Christ is the light of the world, as it states in 1 John 1:5. And his signature shines even in the smallest places, in you, in each one of us. Every cell quietly proclaims the wisdom and artistry of its creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have been created in the image of God. Isn't that an amazing thing? Isn't that an amazing thing? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true light of the world. He shone upon the sin, death, and darkness of this world when he came. The principalities and powers of darkness could not resist or overcome the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, or the truth of the living words he spoke, the words of eternal life. His glory overcomes the darkness and brings light, life, and liberty to mankind. He delivers those who believe in him from the power and kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his love and light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now the name John in Hebrew means God is gracious. And he came as a witness to the light. But right off the get-go, even his name is a witness. Even his name's a witness. John in Hebrew means God is gracious. And this is the message to mankind, that God in his grace to mankind sent his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world, Christ, the light of the world, to shine the light, the glorious light of the gospel of Christ upon all those who walk in darkness and in the shadow of death, to give life, breath, and being, to give eternal life to all who put their faith and trust in him. This man, John the Baptist, came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, the thing is we as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're children of light. We put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, and we're children of light. And we're to share that light. We're to shine that light brightly to all those who are walking in darkness and in the shadow of death. And that's the majority of this earth. Are we shining our light? Are we shining our gospel light really brightly to those who are walking in darkness and in the shadow of death? Let's shine our lights brightly that they might be saved and in Christ. This was the true light, the Lord Jesus Christ, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. That was mankind. That's how they received Christ, the light of the world. In Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3, it says, "When we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." When he came, that was the attitude of mankind. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He came unto his chosen people, the Jewish people, and they did not receive him as their Messiah. When he was on that donkey riding towards Jerusalem, he looked upon Jerusalem and he said, "How often I would have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." You were not willing. They were not willing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, as their Messiah. But it says here, and this is the hope we have, is that as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood. If you're a child of a Christian here today, that doesn't make you a Christian. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. You can't make yourself saved either by all your good works that you can do. All your righteousnesses, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. You can't save yourself. You can't save yourself. Nor of the will of man. Me preaching here, I can't save you. No priest can save you. Only God can save you. Salvation is of the Lord. And that's why it says here, but of God, who were born of God. The Bible says you must be born again. And my brother Richard quoted, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. There's two musts here. You must be born again and you must be saved. Are you born again here today? Are you saved here today? Are you in Christ today or are you in Adam? Are you still in Adam, walking in darkness and in the shadow of death? There's hope for you. Christ, the light of the world, he wants to shine upon you. He wants to save you from walking in darkness in the shadow of death. Now, Christ's light gives life. In Christ is life, and he is the author of life. He gives life unto all mankind, life, breath, and being to all living things. Christ's light overcomes Satan's darkness. Christ, the light of the world, stepped down into darkness. God was manifest in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacle among us. And we beheld his glory, his light, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. In Christ is grace, and in Christ is truth. God was manifested in the flesh. God came to this earth in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came here to taste death for you, to go to the cross, to suffer the righteous judgment of a holy and offended God against your sins in our place, my sins in our place, that we might be saved, that we might be in Christ, that we might have eternal life in him. Philippians 2, 5 and 8 says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, came down to this earth to save us from our sins and to give us eternal life. And all you have to do is receive it. But as many as received him, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born of God. Who were born of God. All you have to do is receive him. When a person gives you a gift, they pay the price. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's gift to you and me. The cost was the cross. When he was on that cross, they drove nails through his hands and feet. Before that, a whip had tore his back. Carrying the cross would have tore his flesh as well. His body was broken for you and for me. And then his blood flowed from that broken body. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That precious blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And on the third day, he rose from the dead to give us eternal life. This is why he came. He humbled himself. The one who created all we were looking at just previously, all the heavens and the earth and the galaxies, who spoke it into existence. He humbled himself and was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. For you and for me, he humbled himself. He could have called 1,000 angels from the cross. And I'm sure all the angels in heaven were just like ready to go. But he said, no. Hold off. Hold off. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, the love, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ for us. He came to put away our sins by the sacrifice of himself. Perfect sacrifice for our sins. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. When he was on that cross, he was there in 3 hours of darkness. We can't even get into it. We can hardly scratch the surface of that 3 hours of darkness. But for us who are walking in darkness and in the shadow of death, he stepped into that 3 hours of darkness that we might live in his light, the light of eternal life. He cried from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken so we would not be forsaken. He loved us so much. He loved us and washed us from our sins with his own precious blood. In Revelation 22:5, it says that he stepped into that darkness there to pay the penalty for our sins. And in Revelation 22:5, why did he do it? That he might give us light and that we may reign with him forever and ever. Christ, the light of the world. Now, Christ is the true light. Christ's light is truth. We live in a world of lies and false gospels today. But the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, that's truth. Christ is truth. The truth is in Jesus. The truth. If you want to know where truth is, the truth is in Jesus. His words are truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. He is the way. As the Word of God, he is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And he directs us along the way in this dark world, this dark, sinful world. He's the truth. In him is the truth. And the truth, as the light of the world, as Christ the light of the world, it says the light shines out of darkness to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And he's the life. He's the life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is the light of eternal life. The life was manifested, his eternal life declared, which was with the Father and manifested to us. God was manifested in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. His light guides our path through the darkness. His light guides us into all truth. And his light gives us life in him and fellowship with him. As believers, Christ imparts his light to us as children of light. And we let his light shine through the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, speaking his truth in love to unbelievers living in darkness and in the shadow of death. Now, the truth in love. What's the truth in love? The truth in love is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and then he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and his glorious light is grace and truth. Now, Christ's light overcomes darkness. When we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, we are born again, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, given new life in Christ. We become a new creation in Christ. Psalm 36:9 says, "For with you is the fountain of life." With you, with Christ, is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. In Christ's light we see light. We see life. We see truth. In his light we see light. A fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Now we read, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ today? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, would you receive him today? Would you come and receive him? I'm inviting you to come. If you don't know the Lord, I'm inviting you to come at the end of the service. The elders will be up here, we'll be up here, and we will pray with you, and we'll pray that you will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord and be saved. Won't you receive him this morning? It's a free gift. Free gift. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's all of grace, folks. He loves you, he wants to save you, but you have to come. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest for your souls. He said, "Anyone who comes to him, he will in no wise cast out." So I don't care what you've done from a sin perspective. I don't care what it is. Whatever sin you've committed, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come. Receive him. Put your faith and trust in him. And what he did for you on the cross there." Because he took your sin, whatever it is, and he put it on himself. He bore your sin in his own body on the tree, and he paid that penalty for your sins on that cross. That you might be free, that you might be saved in Christ. He shed his precious blood to wash away your sins so you would be holy. It's a perfect sacrifice. It says concerning the sacrifice for you that when he was on that cross, for all believers, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So won't you come? Won't you come out of that darkness? Out of that death that's just hanging over you? "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this a judgment," the Bible says. David said that we're only a step from death. Christ doesn't want you to go out into eternity without him. He wants you to live with him forever. And the only way you can do that and get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life is to put your faith and trust in Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He says this in John 8:12. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." You won't be walking in darkness anymore or in the shadow of death. You won't be walking in darkness because he's the light. And not only that, you won't be afraid of death. Because you'll have the light of life, eternal life in Christ. For the Christian, death is just a door we go through into the arms of Jesus. That's all it is. You know when you go to sleep at night? You know, you're lying there and you're lying there and all of a sudden it's morning. That's what death's like for the believer. And that's why the Lord referred to it as sleep. Sometimes I'm lying in bed and I'm reading my Bible, and next thing it's the morning. And my wife's saying, "You fell asleep again reading your Bible." I go, "I guess I did." You know? But that's what it is. Absent from the body, home with the Lord. Absent from the body, home with the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Door opens into the arms of Jesus. That's what I want for you today. But the Bible says too, if you don't put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, that you're going to continue to walk in that darkness and in the shadow of that death. And when you pass away, you're going to go into eternity without Christ. And the Bible says that you will be separated from him for all eternity. And the thing is, our brother was speaking today, this morning, in our worship, and he said, "What can separate you from the love of Christ? Nothing. Nothing created can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing created. Won't you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today and right now where you're sitting and be saved and in Christ and have eternal life, and nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death, darkness, but the gift of God is eternal life, light, through Jesus Christ our Lord." The old hymn says, "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, my Lord Jesus Christ, should die for me?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. How can we plumb the depths of these words? In the beginning was God. And the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Lord, we read these words every day. We pass by them so quickly. But do we ever plumb the depths of the truth of these words? We pray, Lord, that we've scratched the surface this morning to show that you, Lord Jesus Christ, are the light of the world, that you are our Lord and our God. And Lord, we love you and praise you and worship and adore you. And we pray, Lord, because we know salvation is of you and of you alone, that if there's anyone here in this meeting this morning and they want to know you, we would love to introduce them to you, that they might know you and meet you and receive you as their Lord and Savior and be born again and be saved and be in Christ and have eternal life and all the blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please bless your word, Lord. Bless this message, we pray. We love you and praise you and worship and adore you. In your holy and precious name, highly exalted name, we were singing this morning, that at your name every knee is going to bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that you are Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, to the glory of God the Father. In your name we pray. Amen.